today we're going to read Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor. In case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, wrong page. Give this person your place, and then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers and sisters or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. And I want to say good morning to everybody that's online. Yay, we're glad you're here. As we said, Pastor Kevin, COVID is going everywhere, so prayers for everyone. Be safe out there. And I just ask the Lord to be with me, and what I share will speak to you this morning. I have to be really, really honest. I wrote this, and I said, don't know about you, but I am still loving this series, Stories from the Road. I'm a half glass full kind of person. And the more and more I think about it, the more and more I struggle. And I'm grappling with what it's like to be a real disciple. I'm enjoying it because I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm trying to figure out what it is it means to be this disciple. And I don't think that kind of hit me till a few years ago. It's like, really, this is like disciple stuff. This is like real. What does that mean to look like? One of the things that I also kind of in concert with this is I want to share something that I just absolutely love. I'm going to see how many people of you guys know what I'm saying when I say it. The Chosen. Okay. This is amazing. It is a TV series. It's going to go, hopefully, for seven seasons. Thank you. And The Chosen are Jesus' disciples. And so it's the journey of the Gospels with the disciples learning how to be a disciple. And it's pretty amazing. And it's in... It gives me that sense of first, what it would be like to be in first century Judea. And let me tell you, it's not very pretty or sanitary. And so it really speaks to me too. So all of this is like converging together to be able to make me go, what does it mean? And how many times have I read the Bible and go, huh? And it makes me feel good because the disciples are doing the same thing. But there would be like me where they're going around the corner after everything's over and they're like going, I don't understand. Like the parable of the mustard seed or, well, that one's an easy one, but like the seeds, I'd be like, what do you mean? What do you mean? And so this has been good for me to figure this out. So what we've been learning is What does it mean to really follow him? I mean, what would it be like to see all those healings and those miracles? Wow. I mean, when you watch The Chosen, you get yourself into that, like, that would be, like, amazing. How would we feel today if we saw that? I also see the traps. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. We as humans want to trap Jesus. And so we're going to kind of talk about that. And I think we all do that a little bit. And I still struggle with going out two by two with nothing. How do they do that? They just rely on the community of people that they went from town to town. That's pretty brave in my book. So the thing that I love about the Bible too is community is meals. Have you noticed that? There's a lot of stuff in the Bible. Like Jesus gets invited a lot to dinner. I love that. He loves to eat. He loves to have good conversation. He loves to have good food. I love all that too. I love to just spend time with other people and just talk and eat and just enjoy each other, catch up. And then this first verse. So it starts with Luke 14:1. And so there's words that pop out to me as we've gone through this series. There's the first verse has Sabbath in it. Second is Pharisees. And then the third is that they're carefully watching Jesus. So they're watching Jesus. And it's like, would you be excited to get invited to dinner to see what he's going to do next? You know, what outlandish thing is he going to do? And, of course, the word Sabbath. And you're not supposed to do anything, their understanding, to do anything on the Sabbath. So the verses 2-6, guess what he's doing? He's healing on the Sabbath. And what I get a sense out of that is that it's not that big of a deal because, okay, he's already done that. We already know he does things like that. So what's the next new thing that we want to catch him at? And then there's this reality that I watch in The Chosen, I watch in the Bible, I watch even in ourselves, this essence of being human. Some of that stuff just doesn't change. We're still the same. I can relate to people in the Bible because I would do some of those things that they do. And then I realize, oh, crud, I could be a Pharisee. Ever thought about that? And in our world, how many times do we watch news conferences where we see one side standing up, giving a speech, and then there's all of these reporters, some from the other side, and they're just waiting to catch them to not say what they said 2 years ago, to just frustrate them so much to the point that they say something so dumb that they know they shouldn't say, and they say it. And it just makes you cringe. I feel like that's what's kind of happening in this scenario where they're just kind of waiting. What's he gonna do? I think this is harder one because it's so simplistic. And the thing that I love about verse 7 is Jesus is watching them. You gonna watch me? I'm gonna watch you. I was like, oh, I love this. So this is a paraphrase from one of the commentaries that Kevin had given me. After observing their drama for a while, Jesus calls them out with a parable. He knows the rules of his day. He shuns them and he calls instead for a revolution. Not a revolution of arms and bloodshed, but a revolution of table manners. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor. Go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Okay, and then, so that's hitting the guests. And then he goes, okay, you, the host? If that isn't counterculture enough, Jesus turns to his host and continues, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. I don't think they were expecting the Pharisees to have that kind of conversation, because how would you react to that? The cool thing is, or the amazing thing, is the disciples, Luke, doesn't write what the reaction is. I find that interesting. I mean, would the disciples be struggling with that too? I mean, the Pharisees have just been jockeying right in front of Jesus to where the best place is to sit by the closest, the highest Pharisee. And Jesus says, no. Totally flips it around. Something so simple. Those are the ones that get me. So simple. And so when I listen to that and I react to that, do I do that? Would I do that? Would I invite people that couldn't repay me back? Would I invite people? Would I do that? That's what I'm saying. I'm a Pharisee. Could I do that? Do I jockey for position? My whole life has been raised to be successful and to climb a corporate ladder and to get my accolades or a title or whatever. That's what I was raised to do. That's what our culture raises us to do. And Jesus is saying, no. How do you balance those two? Between this world and God's kingdom. That's what I think I wrestle with in this series and in just being a disciple for Jesus Christ. But Jesus does insist on it. He insists for us not to get repaid. He insists for putting other people first. He insists on not for us getting repaid. And that is who God is too. I mean, it amazes me how great our God is, how strong his love is for us. Time and time again, I screw up. And there's still that love that he's waiting there to get me to where I'm supposed to be, to where I'm called to be. And I just, when I look at our culture, we just don't have that word. Did you hear the word humility, to be humble? I think humility is a tricky thing, because I was thinking, if you think you're humble, are you? Ever think about that? Are you? Do you think you're humble? Blows me. So it's tricky. And our Western culture just brings that out, you know, the loudest. I had one of the great jobs working in high school. In college, I worked at Six Flags over St. Louis, and I worked at the front gate, and I was a supervisor, and I was only 18 or 19, and people were yelling at me because they couldn't have this or they couldn't have that, and it seemed like at that age, that young of an age, I thought, the loudest people always win. And I used to always think that that is so wrong. And to this day, if I watch somebody yelling at a Walmart cashier, like I cringe. Because then when the manager comes out, then they're really nice to them. You know, I was like, I don't get that. No. So I think there's a little bit of me that just like, you want to root for the people that don't really have the power. And I think when you really start looking at what does that look like to live in a world where we don't get repaid back, that we love, we open our table to those that are different than us, I think that's when community happens. And I think that's when transformation happens with God, that I begin to see everybody as that gift, that human that God created, and what are they supposed to be like? Jeff and I are blessed to have a little 6-month-old little girl, granddaughter, Vivian. What's she going to be like? What's she going to teach me? And it'll be so much fun, and I've watched so many of you enjoy your grandchildren, and I look forward to that. So this sense of community really speaks to me, and then it brings me to, I have been working off of the square, on the square and off of the square in Harrisonville for about 18 years. And I'm seeing such a change in our square, and it's so exciting to see the change. And I remember Jeff and I lived, I think it was 84 and 85, we lived above his mother's Hallmark store, Nancy's Hallmark Haven. We would stay up there. Okay, that apartment in 1984, picture wood paneling, floor to ceiling, all over. That was the 70s, 80s way, dark. I couldn't wait to get out of there. Bathroom, had a bathtub, but no shower. Now, totally renovated, brick, just washer, dryer, gorgeous. There's people living on the square. When we lived there, I think we were the only ones living on the square. I don't think there was anybody living there. It was just dead. So I love it right now. I can go to Brick House, and I can get my iced white chocolate latte and the app. You know, you just go like this, and then it's there, and you pick it up. There's, they have great lunch. We've done things there that they allow us to do things. We did a tea group there. I can go to JT's. I could go to 1886. I could go to headquarters. There's just cool stuff happening. And then, if I want to buy anything, I have Artisans. I have Birdies. Headquarters has stuff upstairs, so we can look like we can wear boutique-ish stuff. That's so cool, and things that are made or not made or antiques. It's so cool. And then we just invited another. Well, we didn't invite. There's a bakery called Bonafide. Oh my goodness! Has anybody been there? Yeah. The mystique of seeing a Danish, that phyllo dough, or whatever they do to make a beautiful cherry Danish. Jennifer's from Germany. And she has this really beautiful accent. And she wanted to work and have a place of business like what she grew up with in Germany. And that was a square with a brick street. She's a really neat person. She makes really, really, really good pastries, scones, sun-dried scones, great. Macaroons. I never really had a macaroon until her. Oh my God. Glad I never did until today. And then I even have people next door, Garden Gate Floral. There's just this community around me that I'm learning about. Jeff walked by. He works for Garden Gate, and he brought out, he just walked by me just so I could see the bouquet, 60 red roses for somebody's 60th birthday. My brain says you take 60 and you clump them in a thing. This was a work of art. It was huge. Just placed just right all around. It's like, wow. The gifts that are around us. I just love seeing these changes. And I believe that's what the stories from the road are saying, is what is it like to have community, to have, to flip our table manners, to hang with people that are different than us, to just be community and learn from other people. You know, things are just fitting together for me. I even have been struggling with what it does it mean to be a community. So my friend Janet and coworker, we go to headquarters on Friday nights just after work, just to have a drink and sit down and just kind of decompress, and we're bringing people together. It's like we bring different friends in just to say, what is it like just to sit and be in community and have good discussion? So it's been a lot of fun to just be, just enjoy. I also feel very lucky again that I live and work and I'm part of a church that has a worship committee that is really trying hard to come up with a new worship service. And as we talk about our new vision being connect with the disconnected and a Jesus-centered life, what does that look like? In community, on the square, doing worship, people we don't know. Wow. Is that what Jesus would want us to do? I think so. It's scary, but it's cool. You're invited, too, by the way, to be a part of that. I think it'll be fun. And I just want to end with this. And I don't really remember where, you know, you learn so much and you read or you see so much. I don't know if I read it. I don't know if I heard it. But if you, let me say it this way. When we stand at the foot of the cross, we're all equal. Ever think about that? Rich, poor, smart, not so smart, believer, not a believer. That is humbling. It's humbling when I realize that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die for us, because he loved us that much. That's community. Where we're all just striving to be the best that we can be. In the commentary also that Kevin gave me, he had a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He understood it this way: our goal is to create a beloved community, and this will require a qualitative change in our souls, as well as a quantitative change in our lives. It's going to be hard work. It's hard work to be in community and to love people that are not like you. It's hard. But that's where the reward is, I think. And I think that's why I've loved this series, but I struggle with this series, because it's a both and. It's like I have to change and grow and be different and love. And yet, Jesus is with us, with love and good conversation and good food and just being together to learn what it is like to be here and have the kingdom of God be here with us now. So I know we all have work to do. I definitely have a lot of work to do, but I invite you all to just, let's be a part of the community and just find out where God's leading us and what he's calling you to do. I just look forward to the change and the hope that can come from all of that. And let's just say, amen.